Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, I think. Yeah, that sounds about right. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn, as well as this being an episode of Teach Better Talk podcast. Make sure you go subscribe and follow on all these platforms. We want to make sure that we only, you know, not only don't miss you, but we also want to connect with other educators. And by following us, you are helping other educators connect with the team, which we very much appreciate. We'll be right back for the show. Everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show. It is Monday. Katie Miglin is here. My name is Ray Hewart, and I need some coffee.
I just wanted to know I ran out of coffee grounds, and it's like pretty terrible.
Wait, so have you gone and gotten any yet? Like, how are you doing?
This is like, okay? I'm not okay. I don't think. Here's the problem. This is like very much first world problems. I understand that. But I ran out of coffee this weekend, and I knew I ran out. My wonderful husband just knew that it was crucial. So he went out and picked me up coffee that day, like picked up like a coffee maid. And then I am so dumb. I got a grocery order pickup, but because I didn't have it on my radar, because at that point I wasn't drinking the coffee, it was already gone. I didn't get more coffee. And so then the same problem existed this morning when I woke up and I was like, I still don't have coffee.
This sounds like a you problem. It sounds like you made a mistake.
I know. I just always buy, whenever I buy coffee, bags of coffee grounds, I buy like three or four at a time just so this never happens. So I think that was the problem, is I just thought I had some on reserves and I do not. So here we are, people.
I'm so sorry. Like, deepest of my core. So sorry.
Thank you. So if I just don't form sentences correctly, just know that's why.
I mean, I think after the show, you have to take the rest of the day off. Like,
I honestly might. It's just too much. It's just been too much this early in the day, you know?
Speaking of, since we're in the stupidest conversation ever, I'm going to bring up another one. Have you ever done the permanent jewelry?
Okay, no, but I think my mom, I don't think, listens to this, but I think we're going to do it with my mom for Mother's Day.
Oh, that's a great Mother's Day thing to do. Okay, cool. Yeah, you should. I highly recommend.
But you've done it, right?
I have. So I was at a Galentine's Day party, Galentine's Day party for girls, where they like brought someone in who did it. And let me just say, you should always do it while in a good state of mind, because we were like seven mimosas in when we were doing this. And I got two bracelets and an anklet. That to me is too many. Like, you don't have to do that, I guess is my point. But we were like, oh my God, let's do another. We need a friendship bracelet, whatever. Granted, these are girls that I love, but I'm not best friends with, but now apparently we're, you know, tied together. They also were treating it like it was a tattoo, which I just want to emphasize. I know they're permanent jewelry, but you can cut them off. Like, this is not, they were like, oh my God, I'm going to have this on my entire life. I'm like, well, no, you
can't. Right.
Like, if you don't like it, you can use like a craft scissors and get it off. Like,
right.
Anyway. So I just have to say, it is the end of April right now. And we did this early February. They still are on and look great. Beautiful.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And I got the anklet, I feel like I knew would stick. It was like a really sturdy chain. I didn't really pick out the chain on my wrist because I didn't pay attention when it was happening. And it's a very, very thin, dainty, a little like, not my vibe, but like whatever, chain. And it looks like it would snap. It's so thin. And I have not had a single problem with it. It doesn't like in any way, shape, or form. It's like the easiest thing. Highly recommend.
Okay. Well, then I think that's our plan in a few weeks for Mother's Day.
I think that should be everyone's Mother's Day thing. I think everyone should do a Mother's Day thing where they go get permanent jewelry with relatives.
I think I might.
I might need to steal that. Maybe my mom and I should go do it.
There you go. But now you're going to have more than three.
Yeah, I would. But I would do another with my mom. I don't know. Put on the other arm, maybe. I have two on this wrist and one on my ankle. So.
Yeah, you could do it on the other, I guess.
Yeah. Are you guys going to go into Chicago to do it, or are you going to go to Quad Cities? I'm just asking because if you come to the Burbs, maybe my mom and I will just come with you.
I don't know. We haven't thought about it. The first part is my sister, mom, and I all live 2 hours apart. We're in a 2-hour triangle. So the first step is finding a common day for us to be in the same city, which right now with my sister's kids and my kids, it's seemingly very challenging to get that. So
can't you bring all the kids together and have the men with the kids?
That's not the issue. It's just like extracurriculars. Like all of the girls are in softball. So managing 4 softball seasons is just like a little much.
You know what? I know you were, but just about to ask, I will save you the embarrassment. I will text your mom and I will go with
Thank
my
you.
Mom. Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's great. I'll just like send you a gift card so you can take care of Marsha's bracelet. And
wow. Are you even going to pay for it? I was going to pay for Marsha's bracelet, but that sounds great. Yep. And then maybe we'll get you like a fake one with a clasp because you won't be cool enough to get a permanent one and you can be like kind of with us.
I mean, you know, I struggle with like commitment issues, so.
Yeah, that is true. You don't like committing to.
So I still don't have a tattoo. I was supposed to get a tattoo this month. I still don't have one because I can't commit to a design.
That's so silly.
I know.
Well, a tattoo I get. That's what I'm saying. The jewelry is different.
Yes, jewelry actually I'm okay with. I just
the jewelry you can literally put on and like when I put this bracelet on, I was like, I hate it. I will be taking this off. And actually I've kept it and I really like it. But yeah, it's just it's all these little teeny tiny hearts that are linked together.
Oh yeah, that's not your vibe.
No, it feels a little too kitschy. Like it feels very we did this on Valentine's Day versus any other. I don't need like this many. I don't need 92 hearts on my wrist.
You don't?
It's not usually my vibe. No.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. Right. We have a listener question that we were going to get to. Should we do that now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. We are here with our team talk section and we have a listener question, which by the way, Katie, I'm going to try and paraphrase this listener question because it's a little long, but I love the like details that this person's able to give. So I do really like when it's more than just a question. This has a little bit more context, but to start out, they call the podcast comforting and empowering. I don't know that I feel that way, but I'll take it. That's a win.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Then it goes into a little bit about their classroom. It says, in my classroom, I strive to create dynamic learning environments where students feel valued, challenged, and inspired to reach their full potential. I'm deeply passionate about cultivating a culture of curiosity, creativity, and collaboration where every student's voice is heard and respected. Whether we're exploring complex concepts, engaging in meaningful discussions, or embarking in hands-on projects, I'm constantly amazed by the enthusiasm and dedication of my students. That being said, I recognize that there's always room for growth and improvement, and I find myself struggling with a few elements of my classroom environment. Despite my efforts to foster a sense of inclusion and mutual respect, I often struggle to manage distractions and maintain focus during classroom discussions and activities. Whether it's side conversations, digital distractions, or simply a lack of engagement, I sometimes find it difficult to keep all students fully engaged and invested in the learning process. With this in mind, I would greatly appreciate your thoughts on what strategies, techniques, or resources you think would be most helpful to minimize distractions essentially like the goal of this is wanting everyone to be on task as much as possible. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's important to acknowledge that, like, I don't want to just give necessarily classroom management tips, because I think a teacher that has the best classroom management, veteran teacher who just like has really strong classroom management strategies will still face this. Like, this is a reality, and it's just depends on your group. You know, we've had groups of students that are super chatty and super off task, and like, doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing. It just means that you got to find some different tools in your toolbox. And one of the things I felt like really shifted, you know, when I would have those groups of students, one of the things that helped the most was I just acknowledged it. I just constantly like acknowledged and embraced that this was a chattier group, an off task group, that they were going to struggle to do any sustained activity, whether it was full class discussion or independent. And so I would try to be more proactive than reactive. And I would constantly try to give them opportunities to be off task. So then when we were on task, I kind of could use it as like, hey, we got our wiggles out, or I let you be on your phone for 5 minutes. Now, like, give me the respect of doing what I'm asking you to do. And so I just constantly tried to, like, you know, they came in, and if it was like the class after lunch, you know, those classes are sometimes really hard to rein in. That might be the only class, instead of a bell ringer, I would do a 5 minute dance party or 2 minute dance party or whatever, and just like get it all out. Okay, now we're good. Let's sit down and focus. Or if it was like, hey, I noticed you guys are obsessed with your phones lately. Let's get through these 10 minute mini lesson, and then I'll give you your phones for 3 minutes, and then we're going to get back to work. Like, just any of that, which I know it sounds kind of like bartering and maybe like, you know, not necessarily the best, but to me, it was like a give and take. Like, I'll give you some of your time if you give me some of mine, but we got to get to the end result together.
I love this recommendation. The other thing that comes to mind for me is the order in which you give certain directions or materials can make a massive impact. 100%. That's a big part of when we're able to go into classrooms and do classroom observations with any sort of classroom, but some, like a lot of them, it's not that the teacher is doing anything that I want to adjust, except I want to just flip around the order of how they give directions to help with some of that. So, for example, having your desks at the beginning of class be set a certain way, maybe they have certain things out, have very high expectations around, is the laptop closed? Is the laptop open? Feel free to start your time when you're trying to get students' attention. Start with the expectation, laptop should be closed right now. Like, allowing these pieces of whatever you need to share with students to be in a very, very specific order can be a really good step. That way they have less opportunity to be distracted, because you've already eliminated what typically distracts them not being in front of them anymore. So.
And sometimes I think, you know, we're kind of in that fourth quarter, end of year, whatever your season is right now. But I don't think it's too late to pull out some of the tips and tricks, because there were many things that I didn't necessarily need all year long, but fourth quarter came and I was like, we're doing class competitions, the classes that can be on task the longest, or a class that can get started. You know, I've seen everything in classrooms where people, like, they start class and they do a countdown and they're like, okay, give me 5, 4, 3. And then as soon as the class is ready, that's how many points they get. I've seen they give a point for every student that their desk looks how you explained it. So anything like that can be pulled out, especially if you're seeing it's becoming a struggle this time of year, it's getting worse. Like, it's okay. It doesn't have to be because it's not a transition time. It can be like, hey, May 1st, we're starting some of this stuff to get through the end of the year. Like, you want to end on a positive note. What you don't want is the last 4 to 8 weeks being that you're constantly crabby with your students because their behavior is less than ideal.
Yes. Okay. So something you just noted that I feel like is totally undervalued is the transition time into teacher talk time. Yeah. I think that so often educators are like, okay, I need to speak to the full class. I need your attention. It needs to happen instantaneously. The reality is that we would never operate that way as adults. Like, in a staff meeting, if your principal is like, hey, everyone, I need your attention, it takes like 3 to 5 to 10 seconds to get everybody in a spot. And it's not because you're unwilling. It's because you're wrapping up something. Your brain is like finishing a task, and then it's going to transition. And that lag time is really valuable and expected for the human brain. So yeah. being able to do something you modeled there, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that gives that space for students to then be able to be better receptive to you. Yeah. And you can do that by giving them that lag time and then giving them what it looks like to have their full attention. So you should not be speaking when students are looking at their computer. It's just my belief. I'm pretty stringent on that. That's like a big thing. Like close your computer at the 45 degree angle, whatever it is. That's what it looks like to me to see that you're ready. So I'm going to give you that lag time. Maybe it's 10 seconds, maybe it's 5. And then I'm going to be looking at the room to see that every single student has modeled that they're ready for me. And then I'm going to give my instructions. Saves everybody a lot of stress.
I think too, just acknowledging they're human, you know, and like you said, like we wouldn't expect some of this stuff from adults. And I know, you know, we could open the can of worms of like, but students should respect their teachers and give adults the respect, like, fine. But at the end of the day, like they're still human. And if we're not going to expect an adult to have that behavior, then we really shouldn't expect a student, a kid to have that behavior, no matter what grade you teach. So yeah, being mindful of like, if they're coming in and it's a passing period for, you know, especially like our secondary students, they might need a second to hear what you're saying, another second to process it, and then a third second to wrap up what they're doing. So it's ideal for you to give them a little bit, like I always did a countdown because then I felt like I would start to get them. They'd start to hear the class get quiet, but just, yeah, being all of a sudden like, okay, we're starting, isn't it probably going to happen no matter who you're dealing with? So being mindful of that, if you have students that, you know, have to be doing something at this point of the year, we know our students, we know what, if some of them are fidgeters, they need something in their hands, you know, can you give every kid a post-it note and that's their doodle space while you're giving instruction, something that's not on their paper, something that's not going to distract them. It's literally just a little doodle pad. But like this is the time of year where like pull out the stops and so that you can embrace and enjoy all the little moments with your students until the end of the year, because nobody has any energy left. And so you don't want to spend any more energy redirecting and, you know, getting on students. It's just not fun.
Love all these tips and tricks and love our listener questions. So please feel free to keep sending those in. You can email or direct message any of us here on the team and we'll make sure to get it on the show. So thank you so much for submitting these. We love having the discussion. And personally, I really like context about the classroom, context about the teacher. Really allows listener questions to be a little bit more rich and fun to discuss. So hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you hopefully later tonight on the replay of our Sunday weekly warm-up and then tomorrow on the Today Show. See you soon, guys. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.